So I'm so glad to be with you. Hey, let's take a look at a topic that is of concern to all of us. What I've labeled masculinity, lust, and non-relational sex. So let's take the first part, because I'm going to break this down. Masculinity first, lust and non-relational sex, how the two go together, and then what can we do? Protect ourselves to be wise, to be thoughtful, and to reverse the trend. Okay, let's check this out. Boys to men. Now this is really important, because what I'm saying actually is, unfortunately, in a fallen world, how we are designed to move from boyhood to masculinity has got some built-in traps to it. It actually sets us up for the struggle of lust. Here's what I mean. And this is not just cultural. People say, no, you're talking about culture. No. I'm going to start with a bare bones fact. Bare bones fact that transcends all culture. Women get pregnant, have babies. Men don't. Woman gets pregnant, she carries a child inside. I guarantee you she is uniquely connected to that child. We try to be. We're not. She has a connection because it's inside her body. She's nurturing that child. She has an intimate relationship with that child. We rub the stomach. We speak to the baby. But we are separate and disconnected. Now, when a woman has a baby, and let's say she has a son, she says, oh my gosh, I have begotten a male child. This male child is different than she is. She knows that. She's a woman. This is a boy. She has a husband. She's dated men. She's married to a guy. She has this baby. And from the get-go, we've got to recognize this son is different than this mother. So let's say he bonds with his mother. That's great. Attaches securely. That's fantastic. Do you know little boys will play with little girls in best friend dyads, maybe playing dolls, playing house, playing whatever, from age 2 to age 5? Not a big deal. They'll be playing. The son will be holding a dolly. Now he's playing differently. This little girl best friend is nurturing. The boy takes the baby, runs around, drops the baby. Oh my gosh, got to call an ambulance. A lot of action, a lot of craziness, right? Much to the distress of this little girl. But about age 6, if 2 little boys come to the door, ring the doorbell, opens the door. Hey, Tommy and Joey, I've got PlayStation. This little boy leaves that little girl and goes and plays with the little boys. From age 6 on, the genders separate in their development. This is the way God has designed it. But we've got some struggles in here. From age 6 on, this little boy begins to separate and move towards action, playing outside, playing games, and the games are structured with rules. So you can't just pick up the football and run anywhere you want to with it. Hey, you can't do that. You can't play baseball and run to third base and reverse and go to second and first. All the boys go, what are you doing? That's not the rules. So what we find with guys, appropriately, is rules structure the game, and by means of playing a game, all the guys are having relationships, aren't they? But guys are having indirect relationships. Not direct. No little boy comes up to another little boy and says, dude, how you doing? How's your feelings today? Are you feeling a little sad? Nobody's going to do that. Little boys will fight over the rules of the game. They'll get into passionate arguments because the rules govern the game. And the game keeps relationships going. We relate indirectly. Now, if this woman has a little girl as a child, she knows this little girl because she's a woman. Ah, she says, somebody like me. Here's what happens. A little girl connects with her mother and connects, while this boy at age 6 is starting to separate. I have a middle childhood son. I got a 24-year-old daughter, A&M graduate, son, a junior at A&M, an 18-year-old daughter who's decided to go to UT Austin. What happened? Hey! What happened? I'm a house divided. This is not right. My son is a middle child, is so much the spitting image of his mother, it's unbelievable. He is social. He is extroverted. He is a kind guy. He's a godly guy, tender-hearted. And when he was in preschool, then going into first grade, the moment his mother drove up to first grade, he had his backpack. Here's what my son did, because I was wondering. He hopped out of the car, looked at his mother, and said, okay, Mom, you don't have to walk me up. Closed the door and walked up the steps into first grade. What do you think his mother did? Oh, boo-hooed. He's got his backpack. He's going in the room. His mother secretly walked up there, peeked in. He's fine. Bye-bye, mama. Little boys leave their moms. They're different. They separate early. Little girls connect, 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 and connect. And what is the biggest war in a family system? Who's it between in a family? Father and daughter? No. Mother and daughter. When does the battle begin between mother and daughter? What age of the girl? 13, 14, 15, and 16. Because what's beginning to happen for this little girl? She's separating. They've connected, 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 connected. She's trying to grow up. Mama says, whoa! Who's the biggest battle at a wedding and planning a wedding? The husband? He's trying to care. Oh, these are the colors for the invitations? Oh, yeah, that matters to me. He doesn't care. He's just trying to not get in the doghouse. Mother, daughter, connect, 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 connect. Listen to me. Don't miss this. Here's what's happening. This is all well and good because the paths split. When do they start meeting back up between boy and girl? Uh-huh. Hormones kick in. Whoa, ho, 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 ho. Who are you? This little boy wouldn't have anything to do with any of these little girls. Cooties. Cooties are the beginnings of sexual tension because the paths are different. Exotic becomes erotic. That which is foreign to the little boy becomes erotic. That which is foreign to the path of the development of the little girl becomes erotic. Do you get that? So when boys enter a path of a feminine development and connect, 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 connect too much and have an over-domineering female figures in the house, his path of development gets skewed towards the little girl. Many times, that which becomes erotic to him is that which is foreign to him. What's that? Masculinity. It's one path to homosexuality in a developmental sense. So God has designed these paths to split. The problem is we start coming back together and guys are generated with interest with exotic begins to be erotic. Hormones kick in. Whoa, ho, ho. This guy has no idea how to relate. This culture that he's looking at, this woman, she's connected, connected, connected. You know when little girls play, they play in one, two, or three best friends. Small units, right? When a little girl wants to punish another little girl, how does she punish that little girl? She ostracizes them from the relationship. She doesn't fight over the rules. If little girls are playing Monopoly, and Susie, and Betty, and Sally are all playing, and they like each other, they're friends. And Susie runs out of money, what will Betty do? Put her out of the game? She'll give her money. We don't want to ostracize Susie. Let's connect. Somebody spot her money. Now, if a guy's playing in this game, he's going, ho, 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 you can't spot her money. She's out. I crushed her little head. What are you slipping money under the table for? We want to keep the game going. We want to keep the relationship going. Do you see how this works? So the problem is, for boys and men, separation and individuation are critically tied to gender since separation from the mother is essential for the development of our masculinity. It's essential. For girls and women, issues of femininity or feminine identity do not depend on achievement of separation from the mother. So, since masculinity is defined through separation and femininity is defined through attachment, males are threatened by what? Closeness. We haven't had any. We don't want any. I want to kick the football up through the uprights. Why females are threatened by what? Being left alone. See that? Thus, males tend to have difficulty with relationships. Females tend to have problems with becoming a person. Codependency. I know guys can struggle with codependency and lack of development of self. I get that. You go to codependency support groups, the majority is filled with men or women. You go to a sexual addiction struggling group, majority are filled with what? That's exactly right. Our gender development predisposes us to struggle if we're not careful. Because we don't know anything about relating. We don't know anything about connecting. We have indirect relationships. Here's the setup. We've been trained for non-personal, indirect relationships. We play games. We go fishing. We go hunting. One of my closest friends for 30 years, played golf with him this last week. We've known each other for 30 years. He's a fellow therapist, a great guy. You know what we do? We tee off first hole. It's a throwdown. I'm going to beat your butt. He says, I'm going to trash your face. And then he goes, wait a minute, before we tee off, how's Sally? That's my wife. I said, it's great. How's Amy? That's great. Okay, well, do we have that over with now? Because, see, when he goes home, he says, Amy's going to ask me, did you ask Billy how Sally is? Yes, I did. What did he say? She's fine. Okay, we got the chit-chat over with. Done being intimate. Go ahead. See if you can hit it. I can top that. We're having indirect relationships. But what this leaves us with, which women have a PhD in by the age of 10, while we're in kindergarten, we can't feel or put words to emotions. It's called alexithymia. Like atheist, theist, negates, lexi, words, thymia, feelings. Alexithymia. We can't put words to feelings. You ask a guy, what are you feeling? Huh? I'm hungry. Okay, great, let's go get something to eat. This causes increased anxiety in relationships with women because I don't know how to connect. This woman wants to connect, talk, love. And what happens in us is our anxiety builds so much in this intimacy atmosphere. Do you know what the one quick shortcut route out of that is? Have an erection. Let's cut to the chase. Enough of this cuddly stuff. Are we going to have sex or not? I just need to know right now, because I can't do this. How long is this going on? Am I guaranteed an orgasm at the end of this? If I am, I'll be patient with this. If I'm not, if this is cuddling and this is going nowhere, I really, just count me out. My anxiety is building so much, because I am in the realm of connecting and connecting, listening to chit-chat, and I'm thinking, this is driving me nuts. This is what has happened to us. So, we're competition success driven. This gives us a problem a little bit later in our sexual life because everything is about a formula. 1, 2, 3, 2 plus 2 equals 4. Got to have an orgasm. This is foreplay. I'm going there. Oh, this is going to cause some sexual dysfunction later. Now add to this, guys. This is normal struggle right now. This is baseline. Now I'm going to add some icing on the cake. Let's add some father wounds on top of this. Add an abusive father, because when you disconnect and separate from mom, you need a good dad to go to, right? I'm on the other side of the bridge holding out my hand to my son. He crosses the bridge and I go, it's me and you. I used to lay in bed with my son, read every night and go, you know, me and you are boys. He'd go, yeah. Lauren, mom, and Rachel are girls. You get that? He goes, yeah. I said, you want to blow something up? Yeah. Want to go fast? Yeah. His mom would come home. Taylor would run up to her. Dad and I built the biggest ramp and I'm jumping my bike. You did what? Add to this father wound. Add personal rejection, inadequacy, insecurity. Add getting our butts kicked in a bad job situation. Add failure up on top of failure. And then add early exposure to erotic material. You talk about now, we're upside down. Because now, I'm hurting inside, and I want the quickest release that I can for the affirmation of my masculinity. I want the quickest shortcut, the most powerful feel-good, and there's nothing that feels greater than being proud of having an erection and then finding a way to have an orgasm. I may be hurting over here, but at least I got this feel-good. So, three words. We know this. The nature of lust. It's internal. It's insatiable. And it's idolatry. It's internal. Genesis chapter 3. I love this. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, a delight to the eyes, desirable to make one wise, three verbs in Hebrew. She took, she ate, she gave. Now before this, the tree, the fruit, was just beautiful. But after she had a conversation with the deceiver, something happened inside of her. Fruit didn't change. That which was beautiful became lustful. She wanted it. So the major word for lust in the Old Testament is followed by the verb to take. Now the major word for beauty, desirable, we appreciate beauty and we give worship. This is gorgeous. It's awe-inspiring. A woman's body is awe-inspiring. It's a beautiful thing. It's appealing. It's a work of art. But what happens inside is lust becomes lust when it says, I want, I take, mine. When David saw Bathsheba, he was admiring beauty. Someplace in his heart, the switch flipped, didn't it? He took. Now, notice these four verbs. She took, she ate, she gave, and the verb desirable. Do you get those verbs? Took, ate, gave, desirable. Where do you find those four verbs in the New Testament? You got it. What the first Adam couldn't do, the second Adam did. On the night of his supper, he took the bread, he ate, he gave, and he says, I have earnestly desired to eat this meal with you. He flips lust, desire, same verb, epithumia, into the beauty of God's desire. And he takes the verbs that brought condemnation, took, ate, and gave, and he redeems the whole thing. It's Genesis 3, converted. This is the second Adam. Make no mistake about it. He knew that. This is why I'm saying God redeems what's going on inside of us. Lust is insatiable. Once we enter into it, to think it's going to fill me up, guys, you and I know, never fills you up. Paul says, whose God is their appetite. In Philippians and in Romans, this is what he says. Be careful of these guys. They're not followers of Christ. They're enemies of the cross of Christ because their God is their appetite. Their God is their belly. Their God is their empty place. They're insatiable. Once you start down the path of pornography will fill me. Pornography will give me meaning. Pornography will give me a quick hit. Pornography will produce an erection. It will give me an orgasm. It will fill my soul. We've entered into the path of enough is never enough. This is not how you do it in Christianity. In Christianity, we enter the empty place. We don't fill it up. If Jesus sets us free, he sets us free indeed to be empty and to trust God in the moments of darkness, to trust God when existential emptiness is not being fulfilled. That's the time we're most vulnerable. We're depressed. We're hurting. God says in Isaiah 50, you who trust in the Lord and walk in darkness, rely on the Lord your God. All of you who light a torch to walk in the light of your own light, this is what you will have from my hand. You will lie down in torment. And pornography becomes that. It's insatiable and it's idolatry. Clear and simple. It's idolatry. All right, pornography. We understand this. We know this. It's a powerful, passive, disconnected, masculine quick hit. I get to be passive. I don't participate in any relationship. I get to be absolutely powerfully impacted with powerful images, feel great, have an erection, move towards orgasm. Do you know when you have orgasm, the pleasure centers of our brain, oxytocin is massively released in the pleasure center of the brain, similar to cocaine, same effect. And the amygdala shuts down. The amygdala is at the base of your brain. Fight or flight mechanism is the amygdala. It shuts down. There is no fear. You've entered into euphoric transcendence. That's a wonderful opiate. That's a wonderful drug. Then vasopressin is released, which is a bonding agent, so we bond with what is creating the orgasm. This is God's vehicle for helping us connect with a woman who's partner with us in producing the orgasm. It's a bonding agent bonding us to that which is producing the orgasm. The more we view pornography, the more we're bonding with those images to produce the powerful quick hit. But we're disconnected. We're not engaged. Nothing is asked of us. I'm passive. Make it happen for me. This is an altered reality. And now I'm into the slipstream, and I'm creating a powerful neural pathway in my brain. The more I practice that neural pathway, that which was a path becomes a Grand Canyon. The groove deepens. Information flows down that freeway easily. You ever write with your dominant hand? It's pretty easy, isn't it? What if you break your hand? What does this look like when you write with it? Chicken scratching. That's because you have no neural pathway grooved. Do you know how you get a grooved neural pathway? You have to practice, 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 practice. That's why practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Any golfers in here? Practice a bad golf swing, you got a more perfect bad golf swing. So when I see guys hitting a large bucket of balls on a driving range, I guarantee you, 9 out of 10 of them have no idea what they're doing. And if you take a pro with you, throw down 10 balls, pro just stands here and says, hit. I guarantee you, after 5 balls, He knows the sequence of your swing. He knows what he wants to work. He knows the sequence that he wants to make the changes, because he's got the whole picture and he's breaking down the parts. But when we're in it, we can't do that. We have to step out. We're grooving a bad golf swing. Women become sexual objects for our arousal, both physically and emotionally. We sexualize body parts. We want a quick hit. There it is. We don't want to connect. And if we do want to connect, we want the feel good to our ego, which can hopefully lead to the fact that they're attracted to us. We don't want to relate to them. They want us to relate to them. We want to objectify them because we're not good at relating. We have indirect relationships. We don't know how to share our lives. We're not even in touch with the things that bother us. We're not in touch with depression. Father wounds? I don't have any. Yes, you do. I don't care how great your father was. He was imperfect. That's why we have a heavenly father. Talk about intimacy. Let's talk about where you got hurt. I don't want to do that. That's right. I love taking men and watching father-dad movies. You want to get at the core of our life? Let's talk about that wound. Not a woman. It's where the men in our lives have hurt us. Women just become secondary. I remember going to watch A River Runs Through It, sitting in a movie theater, hit the last two scenes of that movie combined with the soundtrack. I'm very visually and audio-oriented. I was choking back tears big time, real quiet. On the way home, my wife looks at me in the car around driving. She goes, "You okay?" I said, "Yeah." I suppressed it, pushed it down. Have a female therapist at that time on my team. 2 weeks later, in between session, Jill came out. I saw Jill. "Hey, Jill, how you doing?" She said, "Hey, you seen any good movies?" I said, "The other night, Sally and I went to see A River Runs." I just teared up, gut check, and I said it was powerful. I knew right then I needed to talk to Sally. I was doing dishes that night, and I said, "God, this is a moment for doing dishes." And I said, "Saw Jill today, yeah?" She asked me if I saw any movies, and I burst into tears. My sweet wife looked at me, and she said, "I knew. I knew you'd tell me when you were ready." But I wasn't ready to talk about. When you add this to this mix, man, it's a powerful energy towards pornography. You get it? What happens? The effects of lust. Write down Jeremiah 17, verse 1. Judah's sin is engraved with an iron stylus, inscribed with a flint point on the tablets of their hearts. Judah's sin is inscribed with a metal stylus, an engraving tool. What happens in the brain is the more we practice something, the deeper the groove goes. The deeper the groove goes, the more freely the information flows down the groove. Got that? You go a new direction, you got to form a new groove. Once I've practiced pornography, once I've practiced viewing images, once I've practiced behaviors, strip clubs, an altered reality, I am grooving a groove as real materially, I'm not speaking metaphorically, materially, just like the grooves on a 33 and a third LP, an old album. You know those grooves the needle follows? That's what we're doing in our brain. I'm practicing a bad golf swing by watching pornography. It's easier, but enough's never enough. There's billions of images. The porn industry is counting on that. It's marketing to us as men. They know we want an escape. They know we want an altered environment. Here's what happens. Compulsive masturbation, compulsive self-stimulation. Here's the effects. We don't realize what we sow, we reap. Yeah, we're forgiven. We can reverse it. There are consequences here, guys. Lack of arousal because the image is in the brain. Every time produced an orgasm in the brain, it bonded with the images. Didn't ask anything of us. Now I've got a real live woman. So I've got guys that I'm working with who have been on a massive left turn dealing with pornography, sex clubs, strip clubs, who are on that path, who now get them in the presence of a real live woman that they love, and they can't have an erection. They have no skills. Their brain has been bonded with this. Now I've got to teach them all over again how to have sex, meaningful sex, with a real live woman that they're scared to death of, and their anxiety is up, but they can have sex over here. You see how this goes off course? God says, we can reverse this. And of course, there's an increased need for variety. Lust is looking for a new object all the time. That woman will do it. That woman will do it. That image will do it. What's next? Desire, in God's redeeming economy, is looking for a new me. Lust is looking for a new object. You see this? Desire is looking for a new me. God is the healer. To reverse this, Let's de-shame it. I love talking about all of this because, guys, we're just guys. De-shame it. Okay, you viewed pornography. Sure, there's going to be some self-stimulation. We can acknowledge that. But de-shame it. No sin is bigger than the cross. So get away from the specifics and shift your focus away and move it towards the energy within our soul. What's going on inside of you? You bored? You need a new adventure? Pornography is a great quick side journey because we're bored. Let's get in the real journey. No shortcuts. Get to the energy of this. Connect the dots. Do a sexual relational history. Were you exposed early to erotic material? Many of us were. Identify the triggers in your life. Boredom, all alone, late at night. Be in community. Isolation's a killer. This is the place to connect. I want men to connect. I want men to connect with men first, not women. Women are PhDs in this. You can't match them. They'll teach you and correct you the whole time. Talk with men. This is the place of a redeeming community. Connect. Talk honestly with each other. Be direct. Don't have indirect relationships. Learn to talk honestly about where you really are in life. The more you do that, I guarantee you, you'll lessen the lust battle because you'll be relating in a real redeeming way. Take an inventory of your sexual temptations. Add up the cost. I tell guys in my office who are flirting with an affair, guys, it's not if, it's when this goes public. Are you prepared to sit in a room with all the people that you love and have this all come out? Your wife, your mom and dad, everybody, you prepared? Before you enter in, it's all going to come out. Let's just wake up and say, not an option for my life. I can reverse this groove. Meditate who you are in Christ. Dance and celebrate who you are. Desexualize your relationships with women. Keep your eyes up. Do you know, guys looking at pornography, we have visual studies. They're not looking at the face. So let's be careful. Let's not notice body parts. Make eye contact with a woman. Look at a woman's face. Acknowledge the beauty. Don't be a thief. Not an option. You honor a woman. Look at her. Appreciate a woman. Admire her beauty. Enjoy who she is. Lastly, sexual impurity or greed must not be named among you. Not even a hint. I want to be a great guy who loves women, who loves my kids, who's not going there. Not an option. I want to share my life with a group of men, be honest about my life, connect with men who love me and I love them. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. We're the redeemed community of God. We can do this. Let me pray for us. Lord, you are the Redeemer, the second Adam, who redeems our life and does what the first Adam could not do. We can connect. We can learn to have direct relationships and honor the women in our life. Admire them, and not covet nor take in our heart. May we be free and dance and celebrate, and not fall into the stupid pit and groove of brain groove that gets us nowhere fast. We love you. We appreciate all you've done for us. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks, guys.